You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. It's Mailin' In Friday. Brought to you by 1 in 100.
I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Hour 2, Mailin' In Friday, brought to you by 1100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1100.net. The Maple Leafs with a big 4-1 win last night. And Ray Ferraro will join us here in just a moment. Ray was calling a game for NBC in Calgary last night, so we'll get his take on the Calgary game. And he's in Winnipeg calling game 2 of that series tonight, which really feels like a must-win for the Jets.
Yeah, you would think.
Like, it's not literally a must-win.
Any team that loses game 1 on home ice, you're under the gun already.
Absolutely.
Well, didn't you see the stat last night? Like, even after the Leaf game, is it 70%? It's close to 70% that win game 1, regardless of where you are, win the series. And last year, it was 7-1. 7-1,
right,
who won the first game.
So, taking that into consideration, how do we feel about the Maple Leafs' chances now? Because, you know, they were underdogs prior to the game last night.
But I said this to you yesterday, and I wholeheartedly believe it. If the Leafs can continue to play, exit their zone, play a good team defense, they're just as good as the Boston Bruins. I've been saying that. One thing I have to be careful with is, systematically, that was one thing that I was concerned about. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as negative as I seemed about the second period, the third period was a good indication of them at least being under the puck. There were two times where Austin Matthews supported the play where I thought to myself, that wouldn't have happened in the regular season. A little bit. And somebody said this last night to me. It was almost like they were a little bit complacent down the stretch. You're kind of like, okay, we know where we're going.
That's what makes you wonder. Like, coming into the series, and we've established this, we talked about it, you know, constantly for weeks.
Right.
The Bruins deserve the reputation that they have, which is playoff pedigree, winners.
Right.
They play a cohesive system and style. They fought for home ice and they got it.
Right.
You know, they deserved to be a favorite going into the series.
Right.
The Maple Leafs, on the other hand, until you actually win in the playoffs, there's going to be an element of doubt. They didn't play that well down the stretch at all, really, right, for the final 2 months of the season. And, you know, there are some holes in their game where you're like, okay, that's going to be a bit of a problem. But, and it's only one game, and I don't want to sound like it's a complete overreaction, but you watched the way that they showed up last night, and I thought they brought, you know, a real energy to the game. I thought they dictated the pace of the game really from start to finish, outside of a couple of pockets, the second period included. But it does make you wonder if these guys were like, all right, who cares? We know what we're doing. We know when we're going to get there. And they've been preparing for Boston as opposed to preparing for the Rangers on Saturday night.
Right.
Or the Senators on Saturday night. Now, it's on them to continue with this.
Right.
Because it doesn't mean anything if you get smoked tomorrow night and you lose in six or whatever. But I think what has happened here, when you go out there and you play the way that you do and you win the game,
right,
I think now the ball is in their court. You know, now they have the ability to basically dictate their own destiny now. I think they're favorites in the series now. Boston wins tomorrow night, it's 50-50 again.
You win on the road, you've got home ice advantage now. Like, that's what a split would be great. I mean, if you go home up 2-0, you've got a stranglehold. That is why you play with house money, but you've got to double down your play last night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all go over the video. We all look at things. They're going to go over it in their mind, too. So they're going to say, okay, last night we liked our energy in the first period. In the third, we were able to lock it down. We managed the pocket. Second period, there were some pockets. We ought to be a lot better. Okay, what happened? What do we do? We still won the second period. We were able to dig out with a couple real nice plays and, you know, some mistakes by the Bruins that we were able to capitalize on. But what do we do so that we can just take that next step? That, to me, would be would they be talking about
today?
Well,
Babcock is saying that today. He spoke with the media, and he didn't want to talk about game one.
Right.
And that is important. Who cares about game one
it's
now?
Done.
Game
Move
one's
on.
Over. Yeah, it's done. And that's going to apply in both rooms. You know, the Bruins have to be thinking the same thing. But, you know, I think once you get it's amazing how the mood changes. You know, that's the beauty of the playoffs is that it's a roller coaster and there's ebbs and flows. You know, I believe before this series that this was going six or seven, and I still do. Mm-hmm. And by no means has anything been determined because of last night in terms of the overall outcome of the series. But I think what it allows you to do, if you're a Leaf fan, if you're a Leaf hater, if you're somewhere in the middle, is maybe you look back on the season as a whole and who they are and what they're capable of doing maybe a little bit differently because, you know, it was so negative down the stretch. And believe me, I was a part of it too. I'm not pretending like I wasn't. They deserved criticism the way they played. But then when you take a step back, you're like, 100 points in a season is an impressive team. And they still have Matthews, Tavares, Marner. Like, they still have a good team, a very good team. Yeah. That didn't change. They didn't forget how to be very good hockey players. The question was, cohesively, could they do enough to get wins in the playoffs? And last night, they did.
I think, and O talked about it on his post-game hit, and you were right. They checked all the boxes. If you were going into the game going, okay, what do you need if you had five or six little scenarios? What did you need? You needed Freddie Anderson to be really good. You needed, you know, your top players to stand up. You needed to have energy. Like, you went right through it. Like, they checked all the boxes last night, and you win. You win.
Yeah, I also said it's one game, and it's one game only.
But so. You move on. But
yeah, but think about how different.
Change the psyche.
If the Bruins smoked them last night, everyone would be, I knew it. That's exactly, we knew that was going to happen. The Leafs, this is why we said they were going to lose. And you know, so you're right. It is only one game. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't change something. You know, it's...
Makes them
win.
Feel it, plus a, from a confidence.
They can breathe a little bit.
Why do you think I was raving about Frederick Anderson? I thought he was
great.
The most important guy psychologically.
That hasn't changed either. Coming into the season or into the series, he had to be their best player, and he still has to be their best player. That doesn't change because of one win.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, what about that Maple Leaf win last night impressed you the most?
Just about all of it, really. Even when they were down 1-0, I mean, I thought they had a good start. I thought they were really sure about what they were trying to get done. They didn't look like a team that was searching for confidence or how the series was going to be played. I liked all of it. That was a terrific game for them last night. I don't know how anybody could find something to really nitpick on. Other than the power play goal, but whatever, you're not going to shut them out all the time, and the problems in there of that team or have been, in the defensive end. But while I thought Anderson was good and solid, and I was more impressed with the guys in front. That is that as important as Anderson is. I thought the guys in front of him played really well last night.
I agree. I think, it's easier said than done, but if they can replicate that effort three more times in the series, they're gonna be in a very good position. They played really well, top to bottom. I mean, they needed something like that, didn't they? Considering I'm sure there was doubt in the room, the way that they played and who they were going up against.
Sure, but I don't know how they couldn't look at it differently than last year, and with just the difference in personnel, I think that would probably give them a little more, they'd probably be a little more sure about themselves or a little bit more confident with Tavares instead of the guys they had last year, with Muzzin as opposed to a defense that was scrambling around last year. That makes you feel better. Whether they were or weren't going to be better is going to be determined in the, between the buzzers. But they seem to always say they were really good and confident about themselves when I sure didn't see it. And they can't play a better road game than that. And it's funny, though, like you win one game on the road and the whole complexion of the series changes. Like I was in Calgary last night and, they win their game at home and
I don't really think of the series any differently because they won at home. Now, had Colorado won last night, it would still be 1-0, but it just feels different because the road team gets a, you know, gets a step up. That's the difference for me, as you know, looking at a series from 1-0, which is all it can be right after one game. It's like the road team wins, that just looks and feels and changes the sense of things. It makes it a lot different.
Ray, if you're Bruce Cassidy, you're focusing on Mitch Marner. I almost feel like he wants to just move over and live with Mitch and Paul Marner. Like, it is crazy. Like,
the Gretzky comparison came up last night.
I know, and he tried to put a little context in it, but the minute that you throw the name out there, that's, you know, it goes up like wildfire. If you're Bruce Cassidy, certainly Mitch was great, John was great. I thought Austin had some chances that created some stuff that the depth showed. Do you change anything, or you just expect a lot more out of Bergeron? Which, you know, the Bergeron scored, he had another chance, but he was quite
neutralized. I thought that
neutralized.
Whole line was really cool. I didn't think Pastrnak did anything last night. Nothing.
Yeah, sure. Usually he's so much more noticeable.
I don't think there's anything to change. Like, you can't invent new players between now or between then and now. You've got to hope that your guys play a lot better in a style of game that they've played their whole careers. Like, would you think that Patrice Bergeron is going to be a terrible player or a non-impact player for the whole series? Well, if he is, then you're going to lose. And you better hope that he finds his game. You better hope that that Pastrnak and Marchand have way bigger impacts on the game. You better hope that Chara plays much better than he did in game one. If they don't, you can't change your system now. You can't completely throw everything you've done for 6 months in the bin and start again. It doesn't work that way. I know there are people that are saying, well, why can't you do it? Because you just can't. You can't, as we know, you can't change, you can tweak things, but you can't go and change your whole defensive system. If you haven't done it by now, you're not going to change it. It's not going to, you can't be what you're not at this point.
No, they are who they are. I think the
they are who we thought they were, Brian.
Yeah. The question is, I guess, the matchup game. Like, Cassidy, Babcock starts the Tavares line, and he goes, all right, perfect, Bergeron, like, right off the bat. And I understand that confidence. I would have that confidence, too. Quite frankly, I would double down on it if I was Cassidy, because if there's one thing I would put a mortgage payment on tomorrow night, it's that Bruins top line, they will be heard from. They'll be better.
Ray, do you think they might get away from that matchup? Like, Bergeron, they got to weigh two different things. They want to have more offense, maybe playing against Matthews.
But that's what we're saying. That would be a significant change.
Oh, right.
Like,
for sure.
That's one game and saying, uh-oh, I can't put the best line in the league up against another line. Like, I got to get them away from somebody.
Well,
that's
then
a change.
The other factor is worrying about Marner and Tavares, the offense they create.
Right.
But if you take Bergeron's line away, first of all, not only are they their best offensive line, they're their best defensive line, too. You can't play with any confidence a second line of, you know, a different line against them the way the Bruins are lined up. You're not playing Charlie Coyle against them. You're not playing Krejci against them. I don't see that. Bergeron's your best guy. He's your best line. He's one of the best matchup guys in the league, and you're going to hope to heck that they outplay Tavares tomorrow night because they didn't do it in game one.
No.
And you can't change their defense. You can't all of a sudden decide that you're going to play Krug and Carlo against them. You have to hope that Chara and McAvoy play much better.
Like, well,
Toronto will play them. They deserve to win. Now, it's a huge step for them to get that win, especially early in the series on the road. So now they've got to go ahead and do it again from their standpoint. Boston has to say, look, man, we got to play. And they did say that and say, we got to find a better way because that's not a way we're going to win the series.
Well, and I think the Leafs, I'm sure, are well aware of this. They need one more win in that building, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And it's either game two, game five, and then needless to say, if it's game seven, you have to win that game. But if they can somehow find a way to come home up 2-0, then you win, you go 2-1 in your home building, and you're off to the second round.
Isn't it crazy, though, like, what one game does to, like just the enormity of one win in a playoff series. It changes
it changes everything in the view of the series. The only way it wouldn't have last night is had Toronto got stomped on. And people would say, oh, you know what, that's exactly what we thought was going to happen. That's the same old team. They weren't playing well. But now it feels like everything's a little different. It feels like, man, maybe this is going to be a different series. The weird part is when we all say six or seven games, that means there's still losses to be had on both sides.
Right.
Yep, it's
going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yep.
And you got to adjust to when it happens and say, okay, we lost. How do we do better? Like, I was that game last night. I don't know if you guys ended up watching or staying late. The O sent me a text in the third period about, you know, Colorado. If their big boys don't score, like, who else is going to score? And it's really obvious watching the depth of the two teams in a head to head game. And so that series to me looked, I thought Calgary's the better team going in, but it looked bigger than that watching the last half of the game last night. And I don't feel that way about Toronto and Boston, even though Toronto was virtually perfect last night. I don't feel one team is way, way, way better than the other.
You think Billy Peters at all sniffs about, but this would be a ballsy move to come back with David Riddick in game two, even though Mike Smith was great last night?
No, I never even thought of it. Why would he do that?
We were joking about it off air, thinking like, you know, keeping that tandem, that platoon going back and forth, because Smith actually is, he played great, but was that in a microcosm, and you're going to get one good one, one bad one?
Well, it'd be the all-time Stones.
We were joking about it off air, saying like a Stones move to just.
But if it backfires, you're basically
you're
going to be
fired. Smith, but
fireable offense.
I don't know that Mike Smith can play like that for 2 months. But while he's playing like that, I'm putting him in the net.
Yeah, that's. I mean, he made a couple great saves, sold it a little bit, but.
Sell it while you can.
Exactly.
It's in your glove, roll it around, make sure everybody knows you got it there.
He looked
but
great.
I thought he was good. I thought Tkachuk was fantastic last night. Like, right from the very first shift, he ran over...
Johnson.
A D-man first on the first shift. Then he got into it with Johnson. Johnson took the penalty. Then he scores a power play goal. I just thought he was awesome. That line, the Backlund line with Frolik and Tkachuk was fantastic last night.
Yeah, it got a little bit chippy there at the end of the game. Colorado was clearly getting flustered, and it was Tkachuk, really. It was always Tkachuk's line. And he's barking away. They're up, whatever it was, 3-0, 4-0.
There was a face-off play at the end, and I forget who the two guys were. They got roughing penalties. And I said during, you know, there was a time when the last 2 minutes of a 4-0 playoff game would take 25 minutes. Like, that would not have ended as gracefully as it did last night, even though it was a little chippy. Well, like, we all played in those games that turned into boxing matches in the last 5 minutes. And, you know, it's 4-0, and you're like, yeah, well, you beat us tonight, and somebody's going to punch you in the nose, and then we'll just try it again in 2 days.
I was surprised Boston didn't do that last night. Like, when it got to chippy. 3-1, I was expecting something. You know, someone to do something.
I don't think they ever get rattled when it's 3 or 4-1. They just keep playing.
The only beaking was DeBrusque and Kadri. They had a little bit of sideshow going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't much.
But it wasn't overly physical or anything.
It wasn't much. It actually wasn't a physical game. It was a skating game.
No.
Which is perfect for Toronto.
Yeah, the Leafs will take that all day.
We talked about, at some point, the team that can play their style the longest. And Toronto was able to play their style the longest last night. They got to play most of the game in the way that they wanted to play.
Well, if it was a fast-paced game, Ray, and Cassidy said he's got his high-paced lineup in, what is his counterpunch to that? Is it Backes? Like, how does that work? What do you think is going through his mind?
Well, I think Backes will get in, but it's... See, this is where I would disagree with a coach that I voted for one of my three finalists for Coach of the Year in Cassidy. So you want to make a speed lineup to play against a speed team, but your speed lineup is not as fast as their speed lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You try to become what you're not. And I think at times teams overreact to that stuff in the playoffs. And unless he felt that Backes just can't keep up in this series, whether that's a fast lineup or a slow lineup, unless that's it, I think you got to get them back in there, because you, part of your advantage when you play Toronto is that you're going to compete harder and heavier on pucks than they can. That's what your hope is, right? And by taking Backes out, and you've got Nordstrom in there, who's, you know, nowhere the same style of player. That's a quicker lineup, but I don't know. It didn't really work last night, so I'd suspect there'd be a change or two for game two.
Well, you know, that McAvoy-Chara pairing really, it didn't play very well last night. But Chara, you know, he's 42 years old. And it amped up, and they actually laid him out a couple of times. Trevor Moore hit him with, I'm not sure I've seen him be hit like that throughout his career. That's one where I expect the top line from the Bruins, they'll bounce back. I don't know if Chara, what can he change for tomorrow night? Like, what will he do differently? Because the Leafs are going to keep trying to expose him with the speed game. And really, I thought the refs let him get away with a lot of clutching and grabbing and hacking.
Yeah,
I'm Babcock, I'm all over the refs.
Babcock's always all over the refs.
Right. So there you go.
And when they have their meetings before the game in the morning, where the coaches meet with the officials or the official supervisor in the morning, I don't know who it is for the Boston-Toronto series, you can bet that they'll both spin a tale of woe. And Babcock's will be about that. But what can Chara do differently is he can't skate faster. He's got to be tighter with his gaps if he can. And when he's got a chance to finish somebody, he's got to finish him meaner and harder than he did in game one. Because that's what you have. You can't, like I said, you can't be what you're not. He's not all of a sudden going to start dangling around and being some different player. He is 42. The limitations are there. And as much as we talk about him first, that means McAvoy's got to be way better.
Right.
He's the young stud on that D. He's got to be way better.
Ray, before we let you go, we have to ask you this question. If you were invited to Brian Hayes' house for dinner, and you sat in the living room, and you said, "What are we having?" And he said, "Beef penis pizza," what would your response be?
I would make my own order.
Or you would leave?
Yeah, I would say, do we have an Uber Eats around here for something else?
Because a couple of the Raptors players hosted a dinner and the other one showed up and he said, "What are we having?" And the response was, "Penis pizza." They cut off the penis of a big moose or something and they put it on a pizza.
Yeah, I think it was a bull, to be exact.
A bull?
I believe so, yeah.
Isn't there other parts of the animal you would choose to eat first? I don't know.
You would assume that would be pretty far down the list of ideas, but hey.
That's fear factor. I wouldn't do it.
Ever. Well, that's kind of the whole...
I can't.
No, there's no way.
But you know, if you're going to Hayes' house for dinner, with all due respect to his wife, whom I've not met, but you know Hayes is ordering takeout.
Yeah.
There's not a chance.
She's a good cook, but it would be.
We fight that all the time. Whenever we have people over, my wife's like, "Well, let's go out. We'll go grocery shopping." I'm like, "Why would we do that?"
Yeah.
Just order a couple wheels.
Yeah, why would we do something? Like, people are coming to our house. Let's make it as easy as possible. Let's order food.
No fear of that at my house.
No, Steph's not going to be doing that.
The oven will get used?
Well, the oven's got a layer of dust on it, so the microwave's worn out.
Man, at our house, I thought I noticed about 6 months in that we still had the shrink wrap on the little oven in the corner. I'm like, man, I guess that thing's not getting used.
It's basically a painting.
Well, actually, it could be, now that I, that's a good point. It actually could be a painting of an oven.
Right.
Nobody would know the difference.
It's just decor. This is the decor that we've added to the whole house. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy the game tonight. You're in Winnipeg, right? Is this like a must-win for the Jets? Do you feel that way tonight or what?
I do. It's that home team that's lost, and you just feel the pressure of, man, they got to win tonight. We're staying in a hotel that's, you know, a block from the rink, and they're already set up for the street stuff.
Friday night.
Friday night, 8:40 puck drop.
Ooh. Yuck.
There is some liquidated people.
They need some penis pizzas.
By the time 8:40 rolls around. Yes, by 8:40.
Yeah, you need to soak it up.
8:40.
With a penis pizza.
All right, buddy. Okay. Quality stuff.
Enjoy
as always.
Enjoy this weekend.
Yeah, you too. Try to relax as much as you can this weekend. We'll do it Monday.
Well, we're on rain delay at the Masters here, a weather delay. And
yeah.
Outrageous. Tiger just hit it to about 8 feet on 12. So I know. Hurry up, move it along.
Yep, let's get rocking here. All right, buddy. Enjoy.
Later, boys. Have a great weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada. Plus, get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Best sports weekend of the year. Masters. Playoffs in the NHL and the NBA.
I really have to go to the bathroom.
All right. Thank you. That's enough. Serge Ibaka.
I don't think that's necessary, but you want to drag this out, and I'm going
to
piss.
But what I'm supposed to consider your potty
please,
training?
Please,
like okay, go be a big boy and go potty, and then when you come back,
we'll get into.
We'll have a. It'll be snack time.
Nap.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. So tomorrow is setting up to be absolutely epic. If you're a golf fan. The Masters, round three, tomorrow. If you're a basketball fan, the NBA playoffs beginning tomorrow, including the Raptors playing Orlando at 5 p.m. down at Scotiabank Arena. And if you're a hockey fan, the Stanley Cup playoffs will continue, including Game 2 Maple Leafs Bruins tomorrow night at 8 p.m. All the makings of just an awful day of activity. Awful for your health and heart and cholesterol, everything will just be brutal tomorrow, and I can't wait.
If you want to couch, you could just...
I plan on couching tomorrow.
8 p.m. start, I thought that was for the Leafs.
I like that.
You don't mind that?
I like it, because the Raptors play at 5.
Right, so you actually get the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. Like, the Raptors game will not leak into the 8 p.m. hour.
I was wondering how you're going to react to that, whether it was late.
I don't have a problem with that on a Saturday. I don't have a problem Saturday with that period.
Night. Right.
You know, like, you look at these teams out west, like they Ray just said it. Winnipeg plays at, what, 8:40 tonight?
8:40 puck drop. They're 8:30 local. It's a 9:30 Eastern start.
That's a tough... Like, that's not much different than 8 o'clock, clearly. It's not much, but it's still enough where it might throw you off a little bit.
Well, what would you do, O, for your game routine?
For an 8 p.m. start?
8:30. Like, what are you napping to? Are you napping from 3 to 5?
I would basically keep it the same, but you're just waiting around an extra hour.
Which
sucks. But
it kind of sucks.
But both teams have to go through it, right?
You're right.
But at the end of the day, if you're in your hotel or whatever, you're just lying in bed for watching golf for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Really, what
that's
it is.
That's basically the way I look at it.
Yeah, like the staggering, I've appreciated it. I mean, tonight it's another example of it. The Lightning play the Blue Jackets at 7.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh New York game's at 7:30. Then you've got Blues Jets at 9:30 and Vegas Sharks at 10:30. I mean, that's like March Madness.
Yeah, you can surf around that.
You really shouldn't have too much carryover in the biggest moments. You know, like, you should have third period Lightning Blue Jackets locked down. That game ends. Third period Pens right. Islanders.
If you have a two TV system or some sort of a iPad and a TV, you could pretty much just have both of them on at the same time, and then it'll shift to the late ones.
Absolutely. No, you're set up pretty well. I like it.
Yeah.
Future headlines brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto playoff game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. Reluctantly, I'm going to take Tampa out of this because I think they're going to win tonight. They are massive favorites down in Vegas. Wouldn't it be shocking if Columbus took both in Tampa? I mean, it's not impossible.
It's not.
Of course it can happen.
I said off air to you, or maybe I said early on, Bobrovsky's got to have a game of his life tonight.
Right.
If he does, maybe there's a chance.
Or you can look at it the other way. Tampa or Columbus got a win, and you could probably say they didn't even have their best game. They were down 3 Cobb.
Yeah, early on.
Yeah, they could actually show up from like start to finish tonight.
Maybe they get going.
I'm going to take Tampa out of this. Okay. More likely future headline. More likely. Pittsburgh evens up the series against the Islanders. Winnipeg evens up their series against St. Louis, or the Golden Knights even their series up against San Jose. Hmm. Most likely future headline tomorrow morning.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, I was going to say Winnipeg too. Although I'm sniffing on Pitt. I feel like Pitt, I feel like the Islanders, they played well the other night, but they may have, I mean, I know they had two disallowed goals. But Leonard had 44 shots. Like, he played pretty well. Pitt really pushed.
Yeah, I think.
I feel like Pitt and Sid and the boys would be like, okay, here's a little wake up. Let's get rolling here.
Yeah, I think that's my choice.
That's your choice,
Pittsburgh. I think Winnipeg, I think they're obviously in a good position to tie it up. They're a really good team. It was a close game. But the Blues, you know, they lock it down, and Binnington's been so hot. Leonard's had a great year, too, but I just feel like he's more volatile and emotional, and you can get to him a little bit easier. I'm on Pittsburgh.
He is. I mean, he is a guy. But that's where, you know, coming in, this was my biggest worry about the Leafs, was systematic play, where the Islanders had that systematic play and still gave up 44. You know, the Leafs, outside of, you know, what I made a big deal about, was the second period. First and third were really locked down, locked in.
Which I think, again, is why I was pushing back on that. That's more important in the grand scheme of things.
It really is when you take a look back on it. My biggest thing is, at critical times, can that team find a way to get it done? Last night they did.
Yeah.
And that's...
Which, you know, that was the biggest lesson. Like, if you're expect, you can't expect a perfect game.
Right.
You know, like, to use a golf analogy, if some guy shoots a 66, but he bogeys the fifth and doubles the seventh,
he'll end up with a 66.
You can't be like, well, you can't bogey the fifth and double the seventh. Like, right. Yeah, technically you're right. That would be ideal if you don't do that. But let's look at the grand scheme of things.
Right.
And last night the Leafs played really well. And, like, the third period, that was uncharted territory for them. They held the team to six shots. The big bad Boston Bruins, who everyone handed this to,
right,
they were up, and the Leafs completely shut them down. Completely shut down, in particular, that top line.
What they did...
They did nothing in the third last
night. Was skated, though. That's the one thing. Like, the Leafs...
Yeah, they used their legs.
They used their legs.
But that's fine. They're allowed to do that.
But that's what I'm saying. They used their minds, too. Like, there was three or four plays that they just relieved pressure. Just a little chip out, you know, skate into a neutral zone. Like, and it was, I thought Jake Muzzin was outstanding.
I thought it was subtle, but it was really impressive, like, the way he played.
He had a couple turnovers where Zaitsev covered for him once in the first period. Zaitsev had the kind of the two-pad stack, I believe it was on Danton Heinen.
On a two-on-one.
Yeah, on a two-on-one.
Yeah.
And did a really good job of covering for him. But outside of that, I thought that pairing was really rock solid when they needed to be, and especially I didn't think Zaitsev in particular, but I really thought Jake Muzzin had the calmness about him, and that's where a guy who's been there, done it kind of thing.
He had that vibe last night.
He's like, hey, let's go. There was one point they flashed him on the bench. He kind of had a smile on his face, like, this guy's enjoying it.
Yeah,
like it, and it was kind of cool because I remember thinking, okay, that has to trickle through the room.
Well, yeah, and listen, I think game one can go a long way in feeling confident that you have the ability to do it.
Right.
I mean, you still need three more wins, and the Bruins are going to come back with a heater, I would expect, tomorrow night, and more consistently throughout the series. It's obviously nowhere close to being concluded. But, you know, from a perspective standpoint, I think just the experience of watching the game last night, it got back to what we were talking about yesterday. And really throughout the week, about the psychology of fans and the media and the reputation that these teams have built up, and it's all self-inflicted, where I'm watching them in the third, the Maple Leafs, and I'm thinking, based on history, they're going to melt. You know, something's going to happen here. They're going to turn the puck over at a brutal time or take a dumb penalty. But if you were watching them, you're like, this isn't the same Maple Leaf team that has been doing that.
Right.
And that, I think, is important to point out. You know, they deserve credit where it's due.
You know what I'll look for tomorrow? Is if Marner's line somehow gets, you know, neutralized. If they go up against Bergeron and that line wins, the Bergeron line, that's when 34 has to score.
Mm-hmm.
That's where...
He's going to have to make a statement one game or another in this series.
Yeah,
that's where
tomorrow
the
night's a legacy type of opportunity.
That's what I mean. That's where the stagger comes. And then the goalie's got to be great.
Yeah. Like,
again,
well, that goes across the board. Right?
But
that's the nature of the position.
You're right.
You can't win in the NFL unless your quarterback's great.
Right.
You can't win in the NHL unless your goalie shows up.
But that's...
That has to continue to
happen. But I think there's got to be a stagger where, okay, you know, not that Austin was bad last night. I thought he had a couple good looks, but... Ultimately, you're looking at points and finding the back of the net.
Yeah.
Marner's line did it. You know, the Matthews line, you know,
Well, that's what I think should be the mentality tomorrow night is, you know, for a guy like Matthews, who he had some chances last night. I thought he played well. He had a lot of minutes, but I do think he has the capability of being even more dominant and actually scoring, like actually being like, that's enough of this game. I'm going to put this team on my back, because that's what I expect out of Bergeron tomorrow night. That line in general, I expect the top line in Boston to say, we're not losing tonight.
Right.
And they're going to play like it. And I think if Matthews can counter that, and he has the capability of doing that,
no
of course
question.
He can.
Right.
Then, and I thought it was a smart move by Babcock to he snuck Nylander into a few shifts on the right side.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that could be a part of their plan. It's kind of like, you know, it's apples and oranges, but with Backes, at some point he's going to get in. You know, at some point he's going to play in this series. I wonder if Babcock is like, at some point Nylander is going to be on his wing in this series. I don't know when it's going to happen, but if William Nylander proves that he deserves the opportunity,
but maybe it's
that would be huge.
Maybe it's an opportunity where, you know, Matthews got extra minutes last night from his league average.
Oh, he was up over 20.
From his career, season average.
Yeah, even last year in the playoffs, he averaged like 17 and a half per game.
Yeah,
and now he's up over 20 last night. And listen, there was some load management throughout the year. Now's the time. You're not holding him back for anything.
Yeah.
But it's a legacy type of opportunity tomorrow night. If he can, you know, pot two and carry a team, and he's capable of doing it.
Talk about a legacy moment. Tiger Woods just missed the five-footer at the Masters to go five under and get right into that tier. Missed it, now four under.
Are they back and live? Because there was a weather...
delay. They're back live, and he just missed a 4.5, 5-footer. No. Maybe it was 5, 6 feet, but...
The weather just screwed him there.
Yeah, you don't want... He birdied 11. He was walking to 12. You
with
don't want
a swagger.
Be... Yes.
Anyway, we're tracking the Masters. Joel Quenneville will join us in about 20 minutes, and we'll get his take on his new gig down in Florida, his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and... Darren Dreger will join us from Winnipeg later in the afternoon. The Raptors off and running tomorrow. 5 p.m. tip-off down at Scotiabank. We're teeing that up, and the Jays are back in town tonight with Tampa in town. Vladdy hit a moonshot last night for the Bisons. We'll touch on a very special date, a specific date when it pertains to Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm a cybernetic organism, living tissue over a metal endoskeleton.
Part man, part machine.
The Overdrive Man of Steel.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, I'm the man.
All right, the Man of Steel is brought to you by Steel, quality product, built to last and priced to sell. Looking back on night two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, who was your Man of Steel last night?
Mangiapane.
What a name, eh?
It's a great handle.
That's a handle.
Yeah.
Mangiapane scored a big goal to get the Flames on the board. Then they drew a penalty, and then the power play scored. Fourth line, big for the Flames. But Mangiapane is my Man of Steel. Andrew Mangiapane.
Any idea where he might be from?
Woodbridge.
Bolton, to be exact. But
basically Woodbridge.
That's up by your neck of the woods.
Bolton is right by Kleinberg.
Right. Yeah, just a little bit
apparently
north.
There was a flood there recently.
Big time.
Yeah.
It caused a real
big
problem,
stir.
You know.
Hopefully his family's good.
Yeah, all good. The Mangiapanes.
We're leaving goalies out?
Yeah, take the goalies.
It's easy to just to pick goalies. It could have been Mike Smith or Freddie Anderson. I'm going with Mitch Marner. Obviously, the penalty shot was beautiful. You know, even this first goal, the redirect should have gone in, like off the post. Like, he got a piece of that, a chunk in.
Yeah, he put a lot of muscle behind that, too, which I love. Like, don't try to...
Oh, you mean the goal? Yeah.
It
was. I thought he short-hopped it. He hammered that. But it was a good goal.
He got some juice on that. He played really well.
To the point where the
Bruce Cassidy's favorite player.
Exactly. On both teams.
Bruce Cassidy's favorite player is Mitch Marner. I'll go with Marner's linemate, John Tavares, because I thought he was a grit grinder last night. Like, that is where, you know, he's been compared to kind of like a poor man's Crosby. You look at the Marner goal, that was set up because Tavares kind of won the draw, but then he went to the boards and battled for it.
Yeah.
And then his empty net goal, it was like Happy Gilmore. Like, the guy, he's on his knees and he's smacking his stick around. Like, I don't know.
Pretty, actually a pretty crafty play, how he got it and brought it back.
Well,
and
he read the play well. I
really
thought it was
crafty.
A soft play by Pastrnak.
It was. It was a really soft play by the Bruins.
But he read it well and then brought it back to
right.
himself.
Because he had the tenacity going, and he was like, I'm pushing for this. Like,
smelly.
Exactly. Like, the game is right here if I can score this. And even just from your knees, you know, putting that right in the middle of the net. Yeah. But you look at it, he had a ton of shot attempts. He obviously scored a goal, set up a goal, or played, factored into the Marner goal. I thought, you know, on the draws, he was strong. And he was a big part of neutralizing Patrice Bergeron, which, you know, we've understandably so and deservedly so, we've pumped the tires of that top line for the Bruins. But it's not like the Tavares line hasn't been one of the best lines in the league either.
They've been good.
They've been great all year. I thought Hyman played really well last night. And, you know, you talk about matchups. Line versus line, if you can saw it off, you're happy.
But maybe
you need to expect more. Maybe if you want to beat these guys, you can't just expect to saw everything off and hope to get a bounce. Yeah.
It's not the Quebec Pee Wee tournament. They're not going to show up and status quo. There'll be a wrinkle. There'll be something that the Leafs got to prepare to just. They just stick with their game plan. I want them game one, go ahead and try it game two, but be ready for different elements.
Even if tomorrow night both of them score, that's where I said, okay, that now, what do you got 34's line? Can you outdo Krejci's line? Like, it may not even be sawing off. It's just, hey, both of them produce one night. Like, that's where, within a series, things move around.
Austin Matthews, David Krejci's a good player. He's a Stanley Cup winner. Got a lot of experience, but Austin Matthews, if that's his matchup for possibly seven games, he has got to dominate that matchup.
I thought Jake DeBrusk really had a poor game last night, too.
Yeah,
that Marner play, like the Marner shorthanded, like,
the
break
penalty went. Shot, yeah.
Did you see what he did on the play?
He was careless on the blue line.
But he put a stick between his legs.
Yeah.
Like, it was quite careful.
Well, that's what Cassidy was saying after the game, where he's like, we didn't control the puck. Like, that was a glaring example.
Yeah.
A Pastrnak on the Tavares goal. Pastrnak on the Tavares breakaway.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're the last man back on the blue line, and you're making plays like that. You know, now, credit to the Maple Leafs. They put pressure on these guys.
Reading plays,
and that's where the IQ of certain players on both teams can really stick out. But specifically on the Leafs last night. I'm assuming that's what Bruce Cassidy is going to hammer home in the next 24 hours is, you know, don't be so careless. Rise up in terms of your intensity. You got to lean on your top line. They've got to be better. Like Ray said, it's pretty simple. If your best players don't play well, you're not going to win.
Right.
I've got a call for you, Tiger Woods. Second shot on the 15th hole. He launches it into the sky.
Sit.
And it's just a fan is yelling sit. He's a slob in the crowd. He's a degenerate yelling sit. It just rolls off the back of the green. Awfully difficult up and down coming up for Tiger Woods.
And we'll come back and we'll give you an update on that. We'll find out who that fan was. Yeah. Joel Quenneville, Darren Dreger in the final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.